This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
All Natural with Adam Barillet on Joy 94.9. That is Sam Sparrow with Pocket. Now, something you could probably put in your pocket, not that I'd encourage this kind of behaviour at all, is a small little monkey called Tamarins. To talk about Tamarins a little bit more, from the Melbourne Zoo, Noel Harcourt, thank you very much for your time today.
That's cool, Adam, not a problem.
Now, Tamarins are quite a diverse collection of are they monkeys?
Yes, they are. They're very, very small primates. They're the smallest members of the primate family, probably apart from marmosets, which are a little bit smaller.
So, I've been looking at some pictures of them, and you get ones that are, like, golden in colour. Some have, like, the Mr. Miyagi moustache.
That's right. They're the emperor tamarins, and the golden ones are the largest of the tamarins. They're the golden lion tamarins. They're probably the most endangered out of all of them.
So tell me a little bit more about the golden lion tamarins.
Okay, golden lion tamarins are probably, the aspect of them is that they probably only weigh anywhere between 500 to 700 grams, and they're probably only about 700 millimetres long. So they're very small in comparison to other primates. They live very high up in the treetops, probably could be found maybe 10, 12 metres up in the canopy, and they live their whole life as arboreal species of primate, very hard to see in the wild. They live on insects and take water from bromeliads, you know, the vase plants. You've probably seen them in the nursery. They're a terrestrial species of plant, and they eat small reptiles, insects, and they eat quite a considerable amount of variety of fruit.
I'm guessing they're more group animals rather than solitary animals.
Yeah, they've got a coalition of females. They have an alpha male and alpha female that actually breed and produce the young, and the females probably produce, they usually do produce twins. So later on when the twins are weaned or starting to move around, which is fairly quick for these sized primates, other members of the family or the group actually look after them. So when a young female sees a young tamarin born in the group, they also have input into the raising of the young. So they've got a lot of maternal instinct, or they learn how to look after their own young fairly quickly.
So is it a bit of a group issue when it comes to
raising them? Very much so, yeah. Very much banding together and working together as a group, but that basically is controlled by the dominant female.
You said there's an alpha male and an alpha female. Are they the only two in the, I guess, the pack?
Yeah, the only two that actual breed, and it's actually the scent marking of the female that prevents the actual other females from mating.
Oh, so...
That breeding female very much controls the breeding group.
So when you say it stops them from breeding, does that mean that they actually physically can't breed because...
No, they can physically breed, they just don't come into oestrus. It just prevents or breaks the oestrus cycle on the other females.
Wow.
Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, that's very impressive. That's one way to dominate, isn't it?
It sure is. Very, very highly endangered. Probably about 90% of golden tamarin natural environments are gone now. And the amount in the wild is anywhere from maybe 1,000 to possibly, hopefully, maybe 2,000.
So not many at all. Whereabouts in the world are they found?
They're only found in Brazil, up on the Atlantic coast of Brazil, in small coastal rainforest areas. Reason for habitat destruction. Destruction is basically lumber, rainforest timbers taken from their environment. It's actually also for charcoal, and the other aspect is clearing the land for pastures. So the main problem with it is that not only this 1% of rainforest is left on this Atlantic coast, but the other problem is that sections of it remain and don't join together. So you've got a lot of aspects in relation to that rainforest being in one area. It's kind of broken up over a certain area, so that kind of fragments the group as well, or the groups that are actually breeding as well.
Because although there may be different spots, they can't exactly just go for a little walk through suburbia or whatever and get to the next one.
Exactly right. I mean, it's been known in some aspects of Borneo that actual female orangs will even stay in the trees as they're felled by the loggers. So, you know, these guys are really getting knocked around by habitat destruction. And in some areas with cotton-top tamarins, the main problem is that in the northern part of South America, areas of their... areas are being flooded for hydroelectric schemes, so it's all destruction of their habitats coming from all angles.
Wow, there's not much they can do. Now, you do have some at the zoo. I've had a question come through from a listener.
Fire away.
They want to know when they've seen someone scrunch a chip packet near the cage, and it seems to get there. They seem to come to come to the front of the cage. Why do they do that? Is it the smell or the sound?
No, very much the sound. When they're in the wild, they rely very much not only on sight but also sound, and they've got a lot of high-pitched vocalisations. So, you know, it'd be curiosity. They'd come to the front of the exhibit to see what's going on or what's happening or whether it's a bird of prey flying over the top or it's something that could want to predate on them, and they get a little bit anxious, even though they're protected in captivity, of course, but that's a natural kind of behaviour. So they would have come to the front to see what's going on.
So they're quite curious creatures, both in captivity and in the wild?
Probably not so much in the wild because they're found so high up. Probably with tamarins in the wild, you probably hear them first, or you could probably hear groups rather than see them because they're only a very small primate.
Would there also be a bit of a pet industry for them?
Yes, very much so. They're very small, and some of the species, I suppose, you could look at as looking quite cute. But also, some species of tamarins are used in research simply because they can cotton-top tamarins can acquire various types of cancers that we can. So because of that relationship, they're utilised in research areas. In fact, in some areas of South America, they're finding that there's more cotton-top tamarins in research stations than there are in the wild. So that's pretty scary.
It is. Is this just happening in South America, or is the pet trade and the research happening in other parts?
Probably the pet trade overseas as well doesn't help. I should imagine that a lot of people in South America would have pet tamarins or other pet species of primates or animals that are found indigenous to their own country, I suppose. You know, parrots and stuff like that, yeah.
Now, at the zoo, they're definitely not pets. They're there for a very good reason. What are you doing at the zoo with tamarins?
Well, Adam, we've got a fairly extensive breeding program with three species of tamarins. We've got the cotton-top tamarin. We've also got the emperor tamarin, the one that you were referring to, that has got that nice moustache.
Yes.
And we've also got the golden lion tamarins. We're having a lot of success at the moment with our cotton-top tamarins. We've got two groups of cotton-top tamarins, and our second group of cotton-top tamarins are in a rainforest exhibit, and they're actually the females ready to conceive with probably about the fourth generation of young.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there a tendency in the zoo, do you try and break up the packs as much as you can, because then you'd get more alpha females than alpha males?
I usually find that they're pretty well self-regulating as they are in the wild when it comes to captivity, but you do get a little bit of sometimes fragmenting with larger groups. If you've got a nice dominant female, then she controls the whole group fairly well. So you've got to be aware of that. You really don't want to split them, but if it's necessary, then we may remove other males and females and have them in another area. So you can easily manage them like that.
For someone watching, is it easy to pick an alpha male and an alpha female, would you say?
Sometimes if you get close enough, you can see their genitalia. Usually the males are a little bit bigger, but generally that's not a thing that you go by. The fact is that your genitalia, and we usually get used to the each individual specimens.
Yep.
I suppose it's very hard for some people to see it, but when you really look at a tamarin and you look at a group of tamarins, when you've looked at them long enough, you can actually see that they do have different facial appearances or characteristics.
And I'm guessing, do they, like everyone claims that their cats have personalities, they all have slight personalities as well?
Sure. Yep, sure do.
Now, what can listeners do to help the tamarins?
Okay, Adam, probably one of the most significant thing that we can all do is not really support the trade with rainforest timbers. You know, if we're going to do decking at home, or we're going to buy furniture, or we're going to buy something that involves wooden products, we're just probably a good idea to maybe ask the manufacturer, you know, where the timbers actually come from. You know, materials like merbau and teak and things like that, they all look very nice when they're first put into place, but the fact is that what we're actually doing is that rainforest timbers actually come from an animal's environment, or actually been detrimental in the extinction or helping to make it a little bit harder for those species of primates. And although we wouldn't deliberately go ahead and hurt those animals, the fact is that that's what we do sometimes when we buy rainforest timber.
So regardless of the price that you may be paying for the item, what you want to look at is possibly the price further on and the other where it's coming from.
That's right. Yeah, exactly right. And you usually find that rainforest timbers like merbau and all of those kind of rainforest hard timbers are very expensive. And one of the things with merbau is that, of course, people try to seal it, because if you don't seal merbau, it just goes grey. So the fact is that there's lots of alternatives that are available. Even recycled plastic can paint up just as well as timber can. So it's great to look for different kinds of alternatives, and in some way we're having an impact on the environment, and probably makes us feel good when we do something like that.
Definitely. Well, Noel, thank you very much for taking the time to chat to us today about tamarins.
That's a pleasure, Adam.
There we go. That's Noel Tamarin from... Noel Harcourt there, talking about tamarins from the Melbourne Zoo. If you'd like to find out more about what the Melbourne Zoo does, just get along to zoo.org.au. If you haven't been down to the zoo recently, go have a wander around. Spend a Saturday or a Sunday, or if you're lucky enough to have a weekday off, go around and check it out that way as well.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.